It is Thursday the 2nd of May, and this is episode 162 of Digital Outbox. Hello, it's another sunny week with Digital Outbox. Got some news to get on with tonight, but I am Chris and I'm joined with... I am joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Chris. See, ever since I said we need to change up the intros...
I know. And I try and use different words and they all come out in the wrong order.
It's been total fluff-tastic.
It has been spectacularly bad, but you know, such is life.
There's just one question I have for you.
Go on.
Did you push the button?
Don't push the button. Yes, I did press the button tonight. I can see recording sound waves. This is awesome. This is an improvement. I've had a very good weekend.
Have you now, Chris?
Yes.
So before we go into some tech news, and I'm not hosting, but before we go into some tech news, let's have a quick update on race one of the Caterham Academy Group 1 Championship. Is that right?
Well, nearly. It's close enough. You got the words in the wrong order, but there you go. Yeah, and I won it. Would you believe?
No way.
Yes, with a new course record as well.
No, I believe it wasn't just... I mean, it wasn't just like a lap record like for this year. This is like the fastest anybody in this class of car has been, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. You're the best. I might substitute
until
an actual
next year.
Proper. So, I mean, tell me what happened. Were the other guys rubbish?
I'm guessing they must have been. But no, I had a very good day. And it was quite exciting. It was all over very quickly. There's not many things that only take 50 seconds that I can do that make me that happy. Only one other.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I went there.
I have visions.
Yeah, should we get on to some news then? That'll soon wipe them out.
No. So just before we do, so that's actually like currently top of the championship.
Yeah.
How many points? How many points do you get for a win?
25.
Oh, so is it same as like F1?
Not quite. I only get 2 points more than second place.
Oh.
You get points all the way down. So you basically
Okay.
I don't care. I'm currently on top.
No, that's fantastic. Photos from the event were great, so academyracer.co.uk.
Hey, good plug.
Thank you very much. And it's all looking good. So you win's your next race?
Basically 3 weekends away. So in a couple of weeks, I will be packing up and be on my way.
Fantastic.
Yep. Tune in for more. I guess we should do a podcast. That was more exciting for me.
It's all downhill from now on.
It is. Let's bring it right down. Google Now. Google Now, they brought it to iOS. So Google Now is the kind of Siri alternative on Android that's been on Androids for the past couple of their iterations. And it's pretty good. You sign into Google and away you go from the system. You can do any search you like and it'll come up with intelligent results. Now they've brought an iOS app and sounds like they've nearly made it work.
What do you mean nearly?
Well, it kind of works, but obviously they can't integrate at the system level, so it's a bit flawed.
Yeah, so it's not like and I guess it's like, you know, if you've used an Android and you've got Google searches on the, you know, the top bar wherever you go, and all, you know, just press the button and you can get the voice searching and all that kind of nonsense. You know, and on iOS, it's always within the Google app. So it's almost like you launch the Google app and it gives you a kind of Android-esque kind of front end. And you get, and it's, once you've launched the Google app, Google Now works the exact same way. So cards appear at the bottom and you can flick them up and cast them aside and it all looks rather lovely. And much like Android, it does it intelligently. So it's based on what you've been searching for, you know,
your location, what you're searching for, your emails. You have to let it have all these permissions, but yes, it can mine all of your information, all your calendars, stuff like that. And once you do let Google have information on everything, it's actually, I think we said before, it's quite clever what it comes up with. It is
absolutely
a little bit, they haven't allowed them to do airline boarding passes because I think that's probably conflicting with their terms of reference or whatever.
It's interesting. Google haven't said why. So airline boarding pass, activity summary, events, Zillow, Fandango concerts, research topic and nearby events.
I have a feeling that's just because of the, you know, you can't replicate core functionality. I reckon that sounds like it.
But you still get, you know, weather, traffic, flights, hotels, appointments, packages, restaurant reservations, public transport, etc. So still quite a lot there. And one thing I was surprised at is they've not included push notifications. They said they're still working on how to give the best user experience. They don't want to bombard people with constant, you know.
But then it does need, because obviously on Android, it does give you notifications. So it needs to find a way of doing it, because
yes,
it's a bit useless to have to keep going in to see whether anything's news there, kind of thing.
Absolutely. But it's the first, I mean, this is obviously the first time we've seen it outside of Android. And it was one of the reasons I got an Android device, was to try not just Android, but Google Now was getting so much press.
Yep.
And it is very impressive. There's lots of rumors that it'll come to the desktop as well. So I think in the Chrome beta build, there's a whole lot of Now code swishing around. And I think if you knew the Google Now server address, you could, you know, tweak some settings in Google Chrome and actually get it enabled. But I think that's all been hushed up. So I'm sure at I.O. in a couple of weeks, we're going to see something, you know, around Now on the desktop.
Almost certain, yeah. I mean, they're obviously trying to increase awareness of the brand, and they wouldn't bother putting it to iOS if they didn't think they were going to go somewhere with it.
Interesting stat is that now it's come on to iOS, they actually have more Google Now users on iOS than they do on Android.
Yeah, that says something, doesn't it? Not sure what it says, but it says something.
It's another fantastic stat.
They're trying to let their fonts escape outside of the web. That was, again, just help me out this evening with my words. But basically, so Google Fonts, which has been around, Google Web Fonts, which has been around for a while, you could just make your web pages look pretty by choosing one of their free to use fonts inside web browsers. But they're now moving outside that. So this is a new story. I haven't really come across this.
So there's a font specialist company called Monotype, and they've had a font service for a good long time now, and you can, you know, it's like a subscription service or a paid for service that you can install the client and buy the font, you know, download the font, use the font locally. And what they've done is Google have teamed up with Monotype, and what you can do is download. So Google Web Fonts is now called Google Fonts. The web's disappeared. Mm-hmm. And what you can do is download the fonts, and there's 624 of them.
They're growing all the time as well.
Yep, and some of them are, you know, really nice. So, and there's two benefits to this. You can have it on your local client, Mac or Windows, this is for, and you can use them within, you know, graphic packages, etc. But it also speeds up the web. So it's another one of these incremental gains from Google. And by having the font local, it saves you downloading. So the web page will display that a little bit quicker.
Yeah, and you do notice it on some places, especially if they are using an unusual font that you haven't downloaded before, because the standard font sort of loads up and then eventually it gets overtaken by the one that's supposed to be there. Often it doesn't take very long. It's just sometimes it's noticeable that it happens.
But it's all these little incremental gains.
Yep.
And make all the difference. It's something you don't really notice too much, I think, with the broadband speeds that we've got now.
I think, yeah, we're noticing it less and less.
Yeah, but still, I'll be downloading, and I mean, 624 fonts. It's a whacking great list of fonts.
Yeah, for people like me who just use Arial. story you had, well, one of my picks was the Google Remote Desktop that we talked about a couple of weeks back, or maybe 3 weeks back now. But they have now released the same code base into Google Hangouts. So as part of a video, you know, sharing. Can you hear my ice cream van going by?
I can.
Excellent. That's an ice cream van.
Have you done something to your neighbours? Because if it's not the dog, it's like the ice cream van comes round.
There we go. So now they've added to Google Hangouts, they've added the remote desktop. So in one fell swoop, I guess they're kind of killing off GoToPC and the other kind of support software, because again, Google Hangouts just work.
Absolutely. And we use Hangouts for the podcast. I mean, we're just totally shifted away from Skype, because we were always trying to get, how do we do like the three and four, you know, not that we have more than two on anymore. But
When it was an issue, it was an issue.
When it was an issue, it was like, how do we do this without paying money?
But also, Skype does just tend to bum out as well. So it's, you know,
it does, and Hangouts has been a lot more reliable. Quality's great.
100% more. And it even survived when I was actually uploading to Dropbox at the same time as recording. So that shows how, you know, it's resilient. So yeah, now they've got remote desktop as well. And, you know, I think a lot of people now do have a Google account, even if they don't really know they've got one. Their kind of push across all of the YouTube and all their other channels does seem to have worked as far as getting more and more people on board with a Google account.
Yes.
Microsoft, same time, they've been launching Skype for Outlook.com. Outlook.com's their online office suite where they've got all their online apps, and they've added Skype in.
Well, this is taking.
Well, I say added it to Germany and America on a.
No, UK. UK first.
Okay.
So it's came to the UK first. We are officially the guinea pigs for this. Yes. And it'll be made available to US and Germany in the coming weeks before it's rolled out to the rest of the world.
Okay. So the small island first and then go into the bigger continents.
Absolutely. I'm amazed it's taken so long. They paid, I'm just trying to, I mean, $8.5 billion. And it's now 18 months ago.
Yeah.
So it's a long old time to, you know, to integrate in something like Skype.
Kind of enough time that you would have thought with 8.5 billion budget, you could probably do something yourself.
Yes. So, I mean, certainly you can, if you jump on Outlook.com, you can, it's a one-time download of a plugin. So that's for IE, Chrome, Firefox. And then you can Skype from your browser.
I think Google does do a download when you first come want to do video chat and stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a little chat. Because I initially had, and I was just after saying we had no trouble at all. I remember having a little problem right at the start with that download. Mm. And I had to go and clean out a cache and et cetera. But yeah, there's a little first download, and then it just after that it works so well you forget about it. And I'm sure Microsoft will be the same.
You can hear the smile. Dig, desperately trying to stay in the news. Now, the owner, Betaworks, bought Dig. And basically, Betaworks has now decided they're going to buy Instapaper as well. Trying to build up a portfolio of social and social sharing companies. CEO, John Borthwick, is trying to change sort of his Betaworks company and from being a kind of what's venture capitalist, I guess, just building up companies and spinning them off. He wants to actually build up into a going concern. And he's hoping that the Instapaper is going to, well, Instapaper alongside Dig is going to be his solution.
And certainly since taking over Dig, I mean, Dig was basically damaged goods, you know, when they took it over. And the traffic's doubled in the last, you know, 6-8 months. There's lots of people actually getting, you know, value out the, you know, they redid the kind of iOS. I can't remember if they did Android, but they certainly redid the iOS app. And it's a lot cleaner and quicker. And it does surface.
I don't notice Dig around so much still, though.
Oh, it's not like it was. Not like it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. You know, it's just not. I mean, Reddit's,
you know, everything.
Taken over.
I was going to say everything had Dig, didn't it? Everything was Dig this, Dig that.
But there was to me, there was this kind of big fight between Dig and Reddit. Which one's going to win out of those two platforms? And ultimately, Reddit's won by miles.
And to be honest, likes probably beaten them all anyway. I know it's not quite the same thing, but you know what?
Yeah.
Companies want likes now. They don't really care about digs and reads.
But this seems, I initially was quite surprised because the guy that owns Instapaper, Marco Arment, is usually pretty, you know, he's a kind of one-man band. He's been fighting, you know, Pocket and a few other, you know, Readability is another one in that kind of same space where they're doing the kind of, you know, save for later. And Instapaper, I always think, kind of text-wise, it's probably slightly better, but when it came to video and images, it was rubbish.
Yeah, you
and
know.
Pocket works on every platform. Instapaper, he was quite bullish on iOS only, and then out of nowhere came an Android app because he'd got a third party to develop it.
Maybe just got showed the dollar signs and, you know, you thought, yeah, that'll do.
Well, he's now running the magazine, which is a newsstand magazine, and, you know, between that and his a few other ideas he's got, and he said to take Instapaper forward, he needed he needed more people, and he doesn't want to manage people. That's not his thing.
There you go. Then maybe it is a good, maybe it's a good partnership. And the other thing Instapaper brings to the table is the fact they've got a paid model, and that that will help BetaWorks because they didn't have that kind of model in place.
And it'll be interesting because you've now got, I mean, BetaWorks have got Dig, and obviously bought Instapaper, and in June they're launching their Google Reader replacement sync RSS client. And we're seeing there's loads of RSS, you know, news at the moment. There was one came out through the week, which was very interesting. And again, I've not tried it because it's straight away, it's a paid for, but it's $19 a year and it's called Feed Wrangler. Got a lot of really good press.
I use that by the same people. I use the text editor called Text Wrangler. I wonder if it's the same people.
Text Wrangler's from BB Edit. Okay. Not from BB Edit, from Barebones Software. So they're paid for as BB Edit. No, this is just a coincidental name. And Feed Wrangler, the guy behind it's brought out iOS apps, and he's going to bring out an iOS podcast client. He's going to bring out an OS X desktop client, and it's all about, you know, you pay for this, I'll keep the servers going. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about sustainability. So it'll be interesting to see how that transpires, and also certainly I think, you know, BetaWorks, it's obviously trying to build this kind of shared ecosystem platform. So one to keep an eye on.
For sure. I mean, why wouldn't you keep an eye on it? That's it. Path. Now, we have mentioned Path on probably three or four different occasions. And they've now been twice associated with sort of slightly more dodgy news stories. And this latest one was a user who's ended up having all his... I mean, Path is a social network, basically, for sharing...
Yes.
Sharing, fairly lightweight sharing between your friends and family.
Oh, and when it first launched, it was you could only friend up to 50 people. And if you think back to Facebook and Twitter, a lot of people were like, I need loads of people, you know, I want to follow or I want to share with lots of people. So this was more the...
It's supposed to be your local family and friends.
Yeah, friends and family, and that's it.
But it turns out this user had had a few strange calls from his family that they'd had text messages or messages on their phone saying that he wanted to share some pictures with them. And this had arrived at 6 a.m. in the morning. So they kind of phoned him back because they thought, what's this all about?
The chap's called Stephen Kenwright. He's UK-based. He signed up, he launched Path, installed it on Android, played around with it and thought, this isn't for me, and took it off. And thought, no more of it. And then the next morning, his dad sent him a text at 6 a.m. saying, I can't see these pictures, what are you on about? Then his grandparents were the same, you know. So between 6 and 7 a.m. he was getting, he had like 4 or 5 texts because people were getting texted. And I guess what some people on the internet didn't understand is in the UK, you know, BT and others, if you text a home number, they'll phone you and read out the text message.
It's the most annoying thing in the world. You've just been disturbed with it. You have a text message.
And I guess that the bit he was surprised at is that clearly in the half hour that he'd used Path, that it's grabbed his entire address book and spammed him.
If he didn't, you know, physically give them all those details, they have taken them. Even though he's closed his account, they've still got them somewhere.
So through the day, he got contacted by his gardener, his childminder, all saying, there's this company called Path and they want me to see your photo.
How do I install Path on my phone? Yeah.
Yeah, and Path, I mean, they eventually kind of reached out to him on Twitter and says, you know, contact, we need to get in touch and help you. But then they then spoke to other blogs and said, the guy's using it wrong. But other people responded to his article and on Twitter saying, it's happened to me. It's not just because, and then people were assuming it's Android because obviously you can hack Android and get all the data. Then it was like, no, it's happened in iOS as well. And Path got fined $800,000. Because they were the ones that were grabbing address books previously and uploading to their servers and not telling you
they were doing it. That's it. Yeah.
And again, this just sounds the exact same.
Well, it sounds like they haven't changed anything.
No, and just the previous week they were making big plays about we have 10 million users, and it's like, but
until last week when we stole everyone's addresses.
Yeah. You know, so is that 10 million active users, or you actually got, you know, 500,000 and you've got everybody's address books and you're classing them as users?
Yeah.
Path is a lovely app. I mean, design wise, if you look at Path, you can see it's influenced, I would say, you know, the Facebook Home, the chat heads, you know, some of Google Plus has been influenced by it. there's some really nice touches in it. And I've seen actually people that have left Facebook, especially on iOS, there's lots of people I don't use Facebook because they're snobs. And they've went to Path because it's given them that social network that they're all looking for to share the kids' photos, etc. But it feels quite private. Mm. Not anymore. There's a lot of people like,
You know, how many times do you give... I mean, I guess most people just won't have heard of them to know there's a bad thing, but there's bad news around it, basically. It doesn't...
Yeah.
You can't take too many of those to kill it off.
No, it's like Sony. You know, it's like... They don't look after my data.
No, that's right. And it doesn't really matter what they do now. You're always going to have that association, or certainly for a long time. That takes a long time to get rid of those associations. A bit like it's taking a long time to get rid of the fact that BlackBerry are a bit crap, really. Which is why we're a bit surprised when apparently Selfridges sell out of the new Q10 handset. The Q10 handset was the one with the keyboard. So their new offering, BB10 software, but had the keyboard on it. And if you listen to Selfridges and to BlackBerry, they've been selling like hotcakes. They're having to have deliveries on the hour, every hour, which rather suggests that there's a man just around the corner waiting for the next 10 to sell out before bringing the next box in.
Never did I think Selfridges
no.
would have featured in our podcast. There you go.
Who knew?
If they'd like to sponsor Digital Outbox, contact admin@digitaloutbox.com.
For all the slagging I may do, you we'll take your money.
Yeah, so the Q10 is the keyboard, kind of new keyboard version of BlackBerry, or from BlackBerry. And yeah, it went on sale last week. Seamless Selfridges, and I think there's one or two other places in the UK are the only ones selling it.
Where Selfridges aren't in Hull.
Or Scunthorpe.
Or Scunthorpe.
But basically, it was buyers for corporate IT customers, and also for punting it overseas, because it's only, I think there's only a few places around the world it's on sale, but there are still diehard, you know, business users that desperately want a keyboard, a physical keyboard on their phone.
Yeah, so a lot of people sort of apparently coming in and buying, you know, packs of 10 rather than just individual units. But it does sound a bit like smoke and mirrors, as much as, you know, if they have the stock and they can bring it in every hour, then it must be sat somewhere, and they were just trying to protect themselves to make sure they could say we sold out.
Absolutely. And I mean, at the end of the day, if you think about you know, the Samsung Galaxy launch in last week, I mean, how many stores that have launched in?
Yeah.
Each having, you know, 20, 30 handsets, you know, it adds up to, you know, thousands coming on sale last weekend. And this is like one store selling a few thousand.
Yeah, and, you know, and Selfridges is only available in big towns and cities, so... I mean
there was these hedge fund managers and analysts that were all seemingly going to take a look at this and were kind of like shocked at this, and one guy asked the manager how this compared to the Z10, because of course Z10 is like the one they're putting everywhere.
That's their iPhone full touch type thing.
Yep, but it's all, I mean, nobody really knows this Q10's out, you know. The Z10 is like on every billboard, it's on all the Sky Atlantic adverts, etc. So that's the one. But the manager basically giggled, rolling her eyes and raising her arm in the air skyward, saying it was leagues beyond anything they had seen. And I don't know why, but as soon as I read that, I just thought it's like an episode of The Apprentice.
Sound a bit like that. We've had a games company do a bit of a play on pirating two pirates. Take us through this story.
Damn. you caught me unawares. So there's a games company called Greenheart. And they released a game called Game Dev Tycoon. So I think we can all kind of guess what kind of game it was. You know, let's be a games developer. And we've both seen similar ones on Facebook and iOS before as well. Yes. So not entirely original. And it was, I mean, it's an $8 game. So not, you know, not expensive. So the developer sold a few hundred copies. But actually, he released a torrent of the game himself with a special built-in feature. You know, so you play it for, you know, so obviously it's torrented free version. You play it for hours, and after playing for it, you get a little sales report coming in saying that pirates were stealing the game so much the company was going under.
That was the end of game. Game so you could sink hours into it and then suddenly have your game ripped away.
And the worst bit was that, you know, obviously people were going on forums and complaining about it.
It was like, you know, that Batman, was it Batman Arkham Asylum, where they put a torrent out that had, if you torrented it, it broke something and people were moaning that he couldn't fly.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
And Tweetbot. I mean, Tweetbot's another one where the developer built in he could obviously detect if it was kind of hacked and it wasn't a paid for version, and it was tweeting, it auto tweeted to say, like, you know, I'm too tight to pay for Tweetbot, that kind of thing. And then they were saying, you suck for doing that. And it's like, no, you suck for pirating. But unfortunately, while we're all chuckling at this, over 90% of the users of the game downloaded the pirated version. So yeah, he just made $2,000 on there.
Yeah, so he made very little money, and it was the pirate, you know, even though they bought a Duffed Up, well, I didn't buy it, they got a Duffed Up game. He's got a lot of publicity out of it, though. Might lead to something.
Well, I wouldn't buy it.
I don't want the game,
Well, I just went to... No, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't download it.
I didn't play it long enough to hit the limit, so it's fine.
And just before we finish, speaking of games, GTA 5's picked up a lot of press this week. Oh, you mentioned it last week, and the videos are out. It all looks rather splendid.
Yes, so they've done the videos well, because it's quite exciting. However, if I was HBO, I think I'd be querying a little bit, because basically it's The Sopranos meets The Wire meets Redneck Hick. But it looks awesome.
But then again, the last three games have been much the same.
Yeah, sure, but this is more overtly. I mean, this is, you know, we start with the main character in the, you know, in a psychiatrist's office.
Oh no, absolutely, and you knew straight away.
To his pool and has a family that's run riot around him. Yeah, so you know who it's supposed to be.
But they look far richer environments. Oh. The music, you know, music sounds great. But even some of the press previews that are coming out today, just the amount of, it just looks like a really rich world you've got to play with.
The redneck character just looks awesome. I can't wait.
I just want to get a baseball bat.
Exactly, just loz it at someone's head.
Yep.
And that's because games have no influence on violence in the real world.
Well, clearly, I mean, what annoyed me, and obviously that Boston bombing was shocking, but they then said, like, you know, he played violent video games. Every 19-year-old plays violent video games.
Exactly.
Not every 19-year-old bloody well plants bombs.
Yes. I know, it's very annoying. We're getting too old games anyway. We should give up on them now. We should do something more exciting, like fraud. You always get away with that, don't you?
Nah, bottom main rules.
In fact, all people who have been convicted of fraud have probably played games as well.
Do you think so?
I reckon so.
I'm glad you said fraud and not, you didn't mention Ken Barlow. Sure, he played video games.
Oh, God. We haven't got picks today, so that is the end of our podcast. And if you want to find out more about us, you can do digitaloutbox.com. If you want to talk to us, info@digitaloutbox.com is the email address. And we are also on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I have my academyracer.co.uk blog, where you can find out how I'm getting along. Well,
winner, bitch.
And I'm also... I say I'm on Twitter. I mean, I haven't been on Twitter now for so long. I'm more on Facebook now, but you can't get me on Facebook, so it's tough. So Twitter, Cheesy UK. Ian, where are you? Follow that.
My blog's iand.net. I'm on Twitter, it's FIFA. And I'm on Facebook, and Chris is on there, but he's not on that much.
No, but that seems to be where I post now.
It is.
Yeah, so it's tough.
Tough.
That is it. Speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Ta-da.
Nothing more to say.